This morning it is our great privilege to baptize Rose Cecily Vera Leckie and Eloise Lydia Elaine Leckie, twin daughters to Douglas and Catherine Leckie, and sisters to Eva and Arthur. We warmly welcome friends and family who have joined us this morning, and we hope you feel at home among us as we celebrate bringing Rose and Eloise into the visible Church of Jesus Christ through Christian baptism. It is the tradition in this church before baptism that we have a time of explanation of this sacrament. Christian baptism has been around for 2,000 years. Jesus Christ instituted the sacrament of baptism after his resurrection and before he ascended into heaven to the right hand of God. Listen to his words. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Christian baptism is a sign and seal of God's covenant of grace and of our engrafting into Christ. It is a sign of forgiveness of sins by his blood, of regeneration by his Holy Spirit, of adoption into his family, of resurrection to eternal life. And this morning, Rose and Eloise will have the sign and seal of all those realities placed upon them in the sacrament of Christian baptism. In a few moments, I will take Rose and Eloise from their parents. I will pour water on their heads, and I will baptize them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, for those visiting with us this morning, what you're about to witness may be completely new. For others, it may be a little confusing. So let me explain why we baptize children. And I have just one point this morning. We baptize our children because God commanded Abraham to circumcise his children. We baptize our children because God commanded Abraham to circumcise his children. When people ask me for a text from the Bible to defend baptizing babies, I give them Genesis chapter 17, where God commands Abraham to circumcise himself, his children, and any foreigner in his house. This passage is one of the reasons why I came to believe in infant baptism. After being a Baptist for most of my life, it was an aha moment. You see, I used to think that circumcision was just a national marker that made Israel distinct from the rest of the world. But then I discovered that the Egyptians, the Edomites, the Moabites, the Ammonites all circumcised their sons, which meant that an Israelite son would look just the same as an Egyptian son or an Edomite son. Circumcision no more set Israel apart from the nations than Apple iPhones set Americans apart from Japanese. Both use iPhones, even though Apple iPhones were made in America. So if circumcision was not primarily a national marker, the question is, what was it? God tells us in Genesis 17, circumcision is a sign of the everlasting covenant between God and his people. It was not primarily a national marker. It was primarily a spiritual marker. Circumcision marked Abraham and his children out as being in covenant relationship with God. It was a sign that God was their God and that they were his people. Now just think about when this sign was applied to Abraham's children compared to Abraham. For Abraham, the sign was applied after he repented and believed. He first repented of worshipping foreign gods, believed God's promise of a new land, and then 24 years later, he was circumcised. But for his children, the order was different. The sign was applied before they repented and believed God's promises. The order was circumcision, then repentance, then faith. Now remember what circumcision primarily signified. It was a sign of the spiritual relationship between God and his people. And God commanded Abraham to put that sign on his children before there was any discernible sign of repentance and faith. And it was a sign of the spiritual relationship with God. And that is why we baptize our children. Because if in the Old Testament God commanded that the sign for a spiritual relationship with him should be applied before the child repented and believed, then why, when we arrive in the New Testament, would the order be reversed? It makes no sense to reverse the order of when to apply the sign in the New Testament, because the New Testament fulfills the Old Testament. It doesn't change the Old Testament. It fulfills the Old Testament. It makes no sense to reverse the order of when to apply the sign in the New Testament, because the God of the New Testament is the God of the Old Testament. He does not change in the way he relates to people. And it makes no sense to reverse the order of when to apply the sign, because the New Testament speaks of continuity, not discontinuity. Acts chapter 2, verse 39. This promise is for you and for your children, and for those who are far off, whom the Lord will call. Those three categories of people, you, Jewish adults, your children, and those far off, Gentiles, those three categories of people parallel exactly the three categories in the covenant of circumcision with Abraham. He was to circumcise himself, his children, and any foreigner in his house. If the newness of the new covenant is that children are no longer included, then why, at the very point of inaugurating the new covenant, would Peter speak in old covenant terms? He speaks in old covenant terms because there is continuity, not discontinuity. And so this is why we baptize our children, because God commanded Abraham to circumcise his children. And he did so before there was any discernible sign of repentance and faith. And baptism is the New Testament equivalent of circumcision. It is placed on both boys and girls, and it is to be placed before there is any sign of repentance and faith. Now you may say, okay, I get the logic, Johnny, but why baptize? What does baptism actually do? Well, baptism is a means that God uses to bring people to repentance and faith, because like circumcision, baptism says to the recipient, you need God's grace. You need God to save you. You need a new beginning. You need born again. That's what baptism says to a child, because that's what circumcision said to a child. The contrast between Israel's circumcision and the circumcision of the surrounding nations was to do with when baptism was done. The surrounding nations circumcised at the age of puberty, 12, 13 years old, as the young boy entered manhood. His circumcision symbolized self-attainment, personal strength and courage to endure the knife. If you went under circumcision, you became a man. But an Israelite boy, circumcised on the eighth day after birth, how could circumcision be for him about self-attainment, personal strength and courage? Circumcision had nothing to do with the little boy. It had everything to do with God. In circumcision, the child was passive. Something was done to them before they did anything in response. First, they were cut, and then they cried. You see, the eighth day was chosen because it was the beginning of a new week. It symbolized a new creation. And only God does the work of creation. And it's the same with baptism. When I baptize Rose and Eloise this morning, they will be passive in my arms. Hopefully quiet, we'll see. But they will be helpless, passive. They won't do anything. I will do something to them. In baptism, God comes to Rose and Eloise before they come to him. In baptism, God displays his undeserved favor on them and says to them, I will be your God, even before they can speak. It's grace. It's all grace. And it is mysteriously a means of grace to bring them to repentance and faith. And so this morning, Douglas and Catherine, may your confidence be in the God who does not lie and who says to your two precious daughters, I will be your God.